Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, broadcasting from Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. In this evening segment, we have a special brief administrivia that we will go through on prior prophecy that the Lord has been speaking and some fulfillment that the United States is witnessing before our very eyes, and the church in the United States is seeing firsthand. And we had earlier this week a Supreme Court decision that was shocking to many in the church, and particularly to those in the outer court. But as we have been hearing from the Lord and the word of the Lord, we found that in Ezekiel 16 and in Ezekiel 34, particularly Ezekiel 34, if you've been following the earlier segments, we have seen that the pastors throughout the land and the church throughout the United States of America has completely and entirely collapsed and fallen into all sorts of sin and sexual sin. And as the proverb goes, show me the shepherds and I will show you the nation. And so we have in the United States shepherds in sexual sin, the church herself condoning homosexuality with LGBT churches or LGBT, whatever the acronym is, gay-friendly churches. We have been ordaining gay ministers. So it should be no surprise at all that the government and the secular leaders are now ordaining homosexuality and homosexual marriages. And we have churches right here in Washington, D.C. that will perform homosexual marriages. But before one points the finger at the President of the United States or at the Supreme Court of the United States, let's get a brief recap of what has actually transpired step by step, baby steps, as we hear directly from the Lord and the word of the Lord that the United States has fulfilled to the letter. We started in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, just through verse 51. And this is the sin of Sodom. And this will surprise many because this is not specifically related to sexual sin. Nor is it specifically related or called out in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 through 51, homosexuality. We will see exactly what the Lord says, starting at verse 49, for the sin of Sodom, which is the sin of the United States of America, and especially the church in the United States of America. Verse 49, Ezekiel chapter 16. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. And again, that's in the New International Version, and again in Young's Literal Translation, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 through 51. Lo, this has been the iniquity of Sodom, your sister. Arrogancy, fullness of bread, and quiet ease have been to her and to her daughters. And the hand of the afflicted and needy she has not strengthened. And they are haughty and do abomination before me, and I turn them aside when I have seen. That's Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 through 50 in Young's Literal Translation. So we have a church in the United States of America that has grown arrogant to the Lord and the word of the Lord. In fact, the church no longer shows any fear or reverence of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Well, Pastor Lou, how can you say that? We worship the Lord all throughout the land, and we praise the Lord and dance to the Lord and bring in all sorts of spiritual activities in the house of the Lord, even reading out of the Bible. But as we see in the word of the Lord, as an example, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and again, all throughout Leviticus chapter 20, and again, throughout even the New Testament, we see that sexual sin, as viewed by the Lord, is death. But in the church, she has become so modern and so numb that she has treated sexual sin quite casually, very casually, to the point that it really isn't even sin anymore. It's called modern dressing, or it's called modern relationships. And rarely do we see any modesty in the house of the Lord. And as we went through the scriptures last week in Leviticus 19, we read that the Lord was firm, that the children of the Lord are not, especially the daughters, are not to be trained up in prostitution. Yet we've done that when mom and dad have bought all sorts of sensual clothing designed to scintillate and titillate for their daughters. And that includes the makeup and even the funding of tattoos and all sorts of sexual sin and dating at very, very young ages. That was, we read through last week in Leviticus chapter 19. And we know that our Lord, he changes not. The holiness and the righteousness of the Lord changes not. We see this in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And then we read again, of course, in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, in the vision that John received into heaven, the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord. He changes not. But the church has become modern in the United States and has tempted the Lord and has walked in rebellion to the Lord and has treated sexual sin as a small thing. But it is not a small thing in the eyes of the Lord. Throughout the Bible, whether Old Testament or New Testament, sexual sin is death. But the church has tolerated it and tolerated adultery and tolerated fornication and tolerated ministers that have gone astray and said, oh, well, they will come back and we'll give them a space. And we had many, many major publications and national exposés on prominent ministers that had fallen into sexual sin here in the United States, and the church has grown numb to sexual sin. So it should be no surprise that if the church is tolerating sexual sin, if the church has become numb to sin to the point that she is so dead she doesn't even have the blood in her to blush anymore, it's really not surprising that those on the outside would also turn to sexual sin. For the Lord tells us in Leviticus 19 with our daughters, don't allow them, don't turn them into prostitutes, or the whole land will turn to wickedness. And well has the Lord prophesied. For sure enough, the Leviticus 19 promise has come to pass in the United States of America. And the word of the Lord has not been preached in the house of God. For the shepherds have fed themselves, and the shepherds have abandoned the word of the Lord. And we'll read Amos 8:11, the great famine, not of food and water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. For would the church have tolerated sexual sin so lightly if she were aware that sexual sin is death? Would the church have tolerated homosexuality so lightly if she were aware that sure enough, homosexuality is death? And those that practice such things are going to hell if they do not repent. But no, what the church has been doing in the United States is similar to setting up a picnic table on a railroad track with a freight train coming down the tunnel. And she has invited everyone to come, sit, and eat. And no one has warned that, you know, there's a freight train coming. And that freight train is sin. For if we sow to the wind, we reap the whirlwind, and the Lord will not be mocked. And the church has tolerated sin, and now we see it manifest. Now we see a national manifestation of the sexual sin in the house of the Lord. Now it's nationally sanctioned and legal and encouraged, and it's even glorified. We now have Americans going overseas saying, look at the freedom and liberty that we have now. Well did the Lord prophesy. For we have sown to the wind, and now we are reaping the whirlwind. And the church in the United States is in a state of utter humiliation. It is complete embarrassment. For the house of the Lord has fallen. For if you show me the shepherds, I will show you the nation. And we have shepherds that have tolerated sexual sin, and we have shepherds that have not preached the word of the Lord. And so we find the Amos 8:11 famine, not of food and water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. That was our update, midweek update, that came from the secular world in the United States of America. But the real news wasn't the secular news. The real news is that the church had failed. The church has failed the country in the United States. The church has failed the government leaders in the United States. The church leaders, the pastors, left their office to run for secular office in the United States. And I'm sure there's many of you know them by name. It's become a popular career progression. Yet that act in itself is rebellion unto the Lord and against the word of the Lord. For the Lord tells us in the pastoral epistles from Paul, no man goes into the army and then decides to serve civilian affairs. Or in other words, no one is called into the highest office of the land to be a leader and a pastor and then walk off into civilian common affairs, no matter how high that civilian office is. Because now we see the fruit, now we see the evil fruit of what happened when the pastors have abandoned the sheep and the word of the Lord is no longer preached. The whole land has fallen into wickedness. So, brief administrivia update. As a result of the word of the Lord now going out throughout the land of the United States, the national conference call that's held weekly every Thursday that gathers the pastors throughout the land of the United States to repent on behalf of the sins, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the ministries and the bishops and the false prophets and the false apostles and ourselves in our own homes. The participation in that conference, national conference call, actually exploded. One couldn't thank the Supreme Court more. For now, the dead church is starting to awaken and realize, oh, wow, we really have reaped what we have sown. The shepherds really have abandoned the house of the Lord and the sheep of the Lord. And now, the Ezekiel 37 prophecy, this isn't the target scripture, this is just the background, but the Lord is speaking Ezekiel 37 to the church in the United States today. And now the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes are being awakened for what is being seen in the natural. The Lord spoke long ago, but now the natural manifestation is beginning to shake the church. And this is a good thing. This is similar to an alcoholic hitting rock bottom. and everyone's rock bottom is a little bit different. And for some people, it's going into the institution. For others, it's when they end up in jail. For others, it's when they end up behind the wheel and in a ditch. And everybody's rock bottom is different. But it was clear that last week, through the help of the Lord and the mighty Holy Spirit, some pastors came forward and realized, oh, the United States of America, the house of the Lord, we have hit rock bottom. Whereas the Lord says and speaks to the United States, it's the dry bones. So we'll start at Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these dry bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. That's Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. And the prophecy at the midnight hour, and the prophecy to the four winds. What the Lord is speaking to the church in the United States, where she's hit rock bottom, and now everybody knows it, and now it's front page news. And he says, prophesy to the Spirit, verse 9, prophesy, Son of Man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. Hallelujah. This is the promise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord to the house of the Lord in the United States of America. The house that is scraping the bottom, bouncing off of rock bottom. And that the Lord promises the mighty Holy Spirit to the children of the Lord in the United States of America. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We read this in a prior segment in Joel 2:28 through verse 32. That's Joel 2, verse 32. And we'll walk through this mighty prophecy that the Lord is speaking, and we'll see a consistent theme and a consistent thread. We'll find dual-fold prophecies that are alive today. But the global revival that is going on around the world, where entire nations are coming to the Lord, the nation of Chile, the Senate, the bishops, the priests, and even the president of a sovereign nation coming to the Lord, the nation of Sweden, where the priests and the bishops are repenting, and revival is breaking out as they return to the Lord. The nation of Finland, where they are repenting and returning to the Lord. The nation of Angola had national repentance. The secular leaders and the priest came out in repentance unto the Lord. And in all cases, and there's more, there's of course the obvious nation of Kenya that saw the largest revival in the history of the church. That's an amazing sentence. The largest revival in the history of the church, where millions upon millions came out, even terrorist groups, and repented, and the bishops repented, and the priest repented, and the house of the Lord was repenting, and the nation received peace, even though the whole world was hoping just the opposite. But the Lord, he is mighty, and his will be done. And when the children of the Lord return unto the Lord, they reap the fruit in the blessings. And it's important to note that through all of these countries, throughout the globe, the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere, South America, Europe, Africa, parts of Asia, and even parts of Australia, it's the priests, and it's the pastors, and it's the ministers that are repenting. And the Lord is even raising up new pastors and new priests to repent on behalf of the nation, and those that will take the Lord at his word and walk with him in obedience and righteousness and holiness. And then the secular outer court begins to participate. We saw this in Acts chapter 2. Peter, the bumbler, if you will, of the New Testament. This was the Peter that got rebuked. And the Lord says, "Behind me, Satan." This is the Peter and the apostles that got rebuked for still thinking that the Lord was talking of bread and not the leaven of the Pharisees. Peter steps forward, filled with the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. And the one that seemed like could do no right at all in the Gospels suddenly is a new creation by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. He's not even a Pharisee, scribe, or Sadducee. He is part of that new priesthood. And when Peter preaches by the power of the Holy Spirit, thousands come unto the Lord. And we don't hear much of the scribes and the Pharisees and the established priesthood from that moment on, for they did not participate. They were not repenting. They were not answering the call of the Lord. And as we read last week, last segment, Luke chapter 18, verse 9, the Pharisee did not walk away justified. But the tax collector humbled himself, turned from his ways, and repented. He went home justified. And didn't Jesus have a tax collector as a disciple? The lowest of the lows. We know him as Levi. We know him as Matthew. Considered the low of the lows in the Jewish culture. A disciple of the Lord, repenting, the author of a powerful gospel written by the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the wilderness of repentance, for the portals of heaven are open now. Even though the church in the United States is scraping rock bottom, and now even the very dead, they say, oh, we've never been this way before. Something has gone terribly wrong. Ezekiel 37 is the promise and the prophecy to the United States that the mighty Holy Spirit from coast to coast and border to border will come forth and breathe on the slain, that the church would resurrect from the dead, the spiritually dead, for that's the fruit of sin. The fruit of sin is death. And that is why we see the death in the secular culture as well. For the church has had no life in her. We read through Ezekiel 34, and as a brief recap, it's important to remember, show me the shepherds, and I'll show you the nation. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. And you have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. And the Lord goes on in even more detail. And then the good news, verse 10. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. That's Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 10 and 11. Very good news. Now we have come full circle. We can see that the shepherds in the United States were only concerned about themselves, about their airplanes, about their clothing, about their houses, and about their ministries, but not the children of the Lord. After all, the children of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, all belong to the Lord. But the shepherds have taken possession for themselves, and they have forgotten that the house of the Lord is his, as are the children of the Lord. Even the work itself of the ministry, that too belongs to the Lord. But as we see in the United States, shepherds were fattening themselves up. They were preaching a false gospel of prosperity, a false gospel that points the children of the Lord to the world, a cotton candy gospel that's watered down, not the gospel of the blood and the cross. It's the blood and the cross that delivers us from sin, delivers us from oppression, delivers us from death, delivers the prostitute, delivers the drug addict, delivers the alcoholic, delivers the sick, the lame, the blind, the halt, the mute. And it's the blood of the Lamb and the cross. But the church has forgotten that because the shepherds have gone completely astray. They have gone away from the gospel of the blood and the cross and have gone into a very popular gospel. They like to be culturally relevant, contemporary, cool, and hip. And as a result, the church today looks just like the world. The proof is right in front of us now. One doesn't even need any faith whatsoever. The empirical evidence is there. We have legalized homosexuality throughout the land because, well, the church did too. The church, in fact, was the leader. Sexual sin in the house of the Lord. And what? Did one really think that the Lord didn't see? Isn't everything in the spiritual world on public display? There is no such thing as secret sin in the kingdom of God. And the spirit world does see, and the church has been exposed in the United States for what she is, utterly collapsed, without authority, and without the ability to rebuke sin. For who can go out there and say, you know, this homosexuality, this is immoral and amoral. And how easy would it be for the pagan and the heathen to say, well, your daughters look like prostitutes. You dress like prostitutes. On Saturday, you live like prostitutes in cheap whoredoms. That's what the pagans and the heathens could say, and they would be right. In the movies that the believers, those that call themselves by his name, they go in to see the R-rated movies, any Hollywood movie for that matter, that's spun with the money from the pit of hell, that's invested of for money in the pit of hell as well, just designed to exploit the weakness of the flesh. That's what the church has been doing. That's what she's been bowing down to, the altar of Baal, even in the house of the Lord. Because, well, to be contemporary and relevant with the culture, one has to be like them. And the church has forgotten that the Lord has called us to separate and to be separate from the world, a holy people, a peculiar people. In our last segment, we went through at least half a dozen scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, on the holiness and righteousness of the Lord, and that we, the children of the Lord, are called to walk holy. But as we can see from coast to coast and border to border, the church in the United States does anything but walk in holiness. That was the background, Ezekiel 34. The whole chapter is worth reading. Do read offline. A mighty, powerful prophecy. One that the United States has now seen fulfilled, as well as Ezekiel 16, which was the sins of Sodom, the fullness of bread and the gluttony that we see and the life of at ease. That is a life of casual relationship with the Lord, where we have trusted things of this world. And many believers have even trusted in political systems and flesh, and not in the power of the Lord. And now, sowing to the wind, the church in the United States is reaping the whirlwind, and daughters dressed in prostitution, and the garbage that comes into the home that everyone thought was private, guess again, because now even the secular world knows. And with a straight face and a matter of integrity as far as being consistent, they can rule. They can rule and say, well, there's homosexuality everywhere, so we may as well make it legal nationwide. And thus, the house of the Lord in the United States has come full circle. And we see Ezekiel 34 fulfilled. We see Ezekiel chapter 16 fulfilled. But the good news is, the Lord is speaking resurrection to the dry bones. The house of the Lord in the United States of America to resurrect by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. This is the same revival that is going on globally. Take a look at this revival in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verses 13 through 15. Here we will find from Deuteronomy to Joel through Haggai up through Romans and Acts, the end time revival that was prophesied long ago, that is taking place right now throughout the globe. We shared many countries earlier. Many more to come. And the Lord will indeed have a bride in the United States of America. For the Lord is prophesying to the dry bones, the resurrection of the dry bones from the mighty Holy Spirit. This is the day for the latter rain. Let's read the good news all the way back in Deuteronomy. Chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. And as promised, before we even get there, let's take a look at Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 13, and see the prophecy fulfilled of the famine in the land. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. This is Amos 8, verse 11 through 13. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the lovely young woman and strong young man will faint because of thirst. Hallelujah. Have we not seen this very scripture fulfilled in the land of the United States of America? For the church has thrown out the word of the Lord, thrown out the Holy Spirit. If he doesn't fit into that 15 to 25 minute time slot, thrown out the Lord altogether, and the church in the United States is worshiping another god, a chimera god of flesh and some spirit. For there's been a famine in the land of hearing the word of the Lord. We're going to read the word of the Lord all the way back to the promise in Deuteronomy. And the famine in the land is over in the United States of America. And we shared this scripture back in earlier segments in March of this year, as well as Ezekiel 37, the prophecy to the dry bones. And we have seen now with our own eyes what the hands of the clock have revealed in the natural and what the Lord has shared prior to months ago in the spirit. So starting at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. Verse 13, Deuteronomy 11. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then, verse 14, I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Now the church has taken the latter rain so completely out of context, she's carnalized it and turned it into the chimera god that she has worshipped, this part god and part flesh, this antichrist, in the house of the Lord, throughout the land, and thought the latter rain was, oh, it's going to rain money. Oh, it's going to rain prosperity. Oh, we will have dominion and power and rule. And isn't that what all those that were deceived thought about when the Messiah came? What? We're still in this political system? What? Rome is still in charge? We don't understand. And so that's exactly coming around full circle again, what the church has done with the latter rain. But we will see before this segment is over, and we will get to the target scripture, that the latter rain is today. It is the rain of the mighty Holy Spirit to rule and reign in our homes, to rule and reign in our hearts, to rule and reign in our churches, to bring in the great harvest that Christ prophesied. Great is the harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest sends more servants, workers, into the harvest. We will see this thread consistently woven, scripture interpreting scripture, New Testament consistent with the Old Testament, and of course we know that it would be. It is the same Lord and the same Spirit. So here we see, I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. Please focus, new wine and olive oil. You can take that one as a very significant note, because you'll be shocked where you find it again. Let's take a look briefly. We won't read through all of John chapter 2, but this is the story of Jesus changing the water into wine. This is the first miracle, and what's unique about this miracle is that it was real wine, and that the guests were shocked that the best wine was served last. Ordinarily, we know, People get drunk, you send the first wine out first, and then after they're drunk, nobody cares what's served later. And so you send out the cheap stuff last. But and here is verse 10, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. Isn't that common, frank, and very matter-of-fact in your face? There it is. But you have saved the best till now. John chapter 2, verse 10. The latter wine was greater than the former wine. Hold that thread again, and we will see in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, the same thing. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while. I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory, and here's the target, of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts, otherwise known as the Lord of the angel armies. This is the Lord of hosts declaring that the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former. Now, the latter temple, as we see in the New Testament, is clearly the body of believers, the church of Christ. This is the latter temple. Sunday, June 30th, 2013, at 8:52 Eastern Standard Time. The temple of the Lord is the children of the Lord that he has promised. And he says that this latter temple, this end time church, will be greater than the former temple, even the former church that we saw in Acts chapter 2, as Peter spoke, and thousands were added unto her and added to the church daily. So we have Haggai chapter 2, verse 9 specifically. We have John chapter 2 in the New Testament. The Lord starts with Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. And then we will see Joel 2:28, where the Lord also promises, but he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And it shall come to pass afterward, Joel 2:28, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now remember, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward. These are those days. We have evidence of the mighty Joel 2:28 revival. We shared it earlier. DVDs have been distributed globally as well as nationally. Whole sovereign nations are returning unto the Lord. The miracles of the Lord are manifesting, and the Lord has sent his mighty end time prophet, the one promised, in Malachi 4:5, and again in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. We won't go into all of those details right now, but we did share clearly distinguishing between false prophets and the prophets of the Lord, and that there are no prophets in the United States of America. And now is the time to throw out all the false prophets, throw out all the false apostles, and throw out all the false teachers. They need to repent. It's clear. It's clear now. There are, never were any here. If there were, we would have been in repentance long ago. And if there were any apostles or any prophets of the Lord in the United States, we certainly wouldn't see homosexuality sanctioned in the church and sanctioned by the secular world. No, we wouldn't see that if we had any apostles of the Lord in the United States, if we had any prophets of the Lord. They are all false, and they are all liars. And now we see the fruit. Now we see it. It's indisputable, unimpeachable. There it is. Nationwide. Joel 2:28. Again, the Lord promises that it shall come to pass afterward. And finally, as we saw the wine in the oil in Deuteronomy, I promised shock, because the Lord, He is mighty. I bless the Lord. We're going to see this again, this thread consistent. We're going to see this thread from cover to cover in the Bible. For our Lord, He is glorious. And He knows His sheep. He doesn't make it that complicated for us. He doesn't have us pass physics tests and astronomy and astronomical calculations or advanced sophisticated software engineering. No, He doesn't do that. In the spirit world, He gives liberally by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. For the flesh is enmity to the spirit, and the spirit is hostile to the flesh. And so my prayer continues to be that the Lord would open the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears of His end time saints here in the United States to hear this. This thread that has run from Deuteronomy all the way to the book of Revelation. So open your Bible to Revelation chapter 6. And we will read just two verses, 5 and 6. Verse 5, Revelation chapter 6. When He opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine." That's the New King James Version, Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. Please underline oil and wine in verse 6. Let's read this in the Amplified Version. As the Lord opens the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of the saints in the United States of America. When He broke open the third seal, I heard the third living creature call out, "Come and look." And I saw, and behold, a black horse. And in his hand, the rider had a pair of scales. And I heard what seemed to be a voice from the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, that's a whole day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. But do not harm the oil and the wine. Now this is Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. This is the black horse, the scarcity on planet Earth. This is the scarcity that we have seen manifest economically. It has manifested powerfully, and the whole globe is perplexed, whether Japan, whether Eurozone, whether U.S. Treasury, it matters not. They are financially perplexed, tapped out, and teetering on utter collapse. But there's something else here. For we know the church easily picked up on the latter rain was, oh, we're going to have more grain and more prosperity. But there's more that the Lord is speaking. For we just read in Amos 8 through 11, Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 13, the famine in the land of hearing the word of the Lord. And here we go again. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, a scarcity on the earth. But the Lord says, do not harm the oil and the wine. For we read in verse 6, there was a voice that came out of the midst of the four living creatures. And we know those four living creatures were around the throne of God Almighty. And from the throne we hear a quart of wheat for a whole day's wages, but do not harm the oil and the wine. This is the oil, the mighty Holy Spirit, and the wine, the strength of that anointing. This is the same wine, the strong, that we saw in John chapter 2. This is the same outpouring, do not hurt the oil and the wine, that we see in Joel 2:28. But the Lord will pour out his spirit on all flesh, that is, the flesh of his children. This is the glory of the latter house, greater than the former, that we read in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. But most astonishing, we find the Lord speaking all the way through Moses, his servant, his mighty prophet, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. The Lord says to the children of the Lord, right now to the United States of America, if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. The new wine and oil. This is the oil and wine church of Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. For the famine in the land has been severe. How severe? Well, we just look at the newspapers and take a look at the highest offices in the land, reflecting exactly what has gone on in the fallen house of the Lord, for no stone is left upon another, as Christ well prophesied. And now we see real scarcity of the word of the Lord. And the oil and wine church, that church walking in the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. It's the end time saints prophesied in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. These are the end time saints in the end time revival prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. For once the famine of the word of the Lord is over for the children of God, for we have seen the rest of the houses in a complete famine and has run apostate. We'll run into some specific details, before this segment is over. But it's those sins that have caused the children in the house to collapse. And the children of the Lord have left righteousness and holiness. And the word of the Lord in Amos 8:11, and the famine has been great and severe, and so that now righteousness and holiness are no longer preached, and they are scarce. But the Lord promises new wine and new oil in Deuteronomy 11. It's the same, do not hurt the oil and wine, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. Now we can see, truly, our God, he changes not. We saw that his holiness didn't change in Isaiah chapter 6 all the way up through Revelation chapter 4. We see that his righteousness doesn't change. Now we see that the Lord's ways are consistent in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. His promises are consistent to the children of the Lord. For he changes not. Our God is faithful, very faithful. What has happened? The target, Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. This is the target scripture. We will see that there's been a famine in the land, that the church has gone away, yet the Lord is prophesying and saying the mighty Holy Spirit to the land of the United States of America to resurrect the dry bones. And here's the target, Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. The rest, that was just the foundation. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, the church has taken that and twisted it, and the enemy has been an advocate in twisting it as well, thinking that, oh, all of those laws we just read through in Leviticus, the holiness and the righteousness and the sexual sin, well, we're not under that. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because the Lord's righteousness and holiness changes not. Those laws went nowhere. The power for sin to no longer be our master is that now the children of the Lord have the grace through the blood of the Lamb and the cross to overcome sin. Also, we have the blood of the Lamb and the cross to cover our sins. This is the power of the cross, to not only cover, but enable us to sin, to not sin. We have the blood to enable us to overcome sin, so that we are not mastered by sin. Paul is clear by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Hallelujah. There it is again. The Lord changes not. Holiness and righteousness. That's the currency of heaven. That's the segment we went through last week, consisted in New Testament and Old Testament. And here we see the target scripture. For this is where the church has really fallen off of the boat and really off of the edge and the cliff. And the word of the Lord and the famine has been great, and the church has been lied to, and lies have come into the house of the Lord and said, don't worry about the sin. You have so much grace. Hey, our church is called Sovereign Grace. But look. Look at what Paul says, the mighty apostle. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, that is, sin, you are the slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, there are those, again, that have twisted the word of the Lord, and we have more fallen pastors and false prophets and false apostles and false teachers, and they'll say, you know, the Lord overcame. The Lord Jesus, he overcame. You know, don't preach Matthew 5, because after Christ was crucified, he overcame sexual sin for us. So if we fall into sexual sin, that's okay. Because the Lord's overcome that for us. And I want you to know, that's a lie from the pit of hell. For if that were just the case, we could live any way we wanted to, for the Lord overcame all sin, not just sexual sin. Let's read what the Lord says about overcoming in just a few verses and a few scriptures as references. And we'll see a consistent theme yet again that will buttress and support exactly what the mighty apostle Paul was preaching in Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Here we see Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He who overcomes, Revelation 3, verse 5. Shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So we can see a consistent theme, overcoming. We have the blood of the Lamb to overcome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And don't we know that in James we have that well defined, show me your faith if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I will show you my works, and will show you that, yes, I really believe he's the Son of God because I'm actually acting on it. That we find in the no-nonsense letter of James, the brother of our Lord and Savior. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus. The focus back to the cross and to the blood of the Lamb for this power to deliver and overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb. And when we sin, we have the blood of the Lamb to cover our iniquity and the cross. And we are commanded to pick up our cross daily. This is not a popular topic. This is the word of the Lord and the famine that we have seen throughout the land. For the cross is a violent instrument of torture, and it does tear the flesh. And the flesh is hostile to the spirit. So the church tossed it out. The church tossed out the cross and the Holy Spirit. But we know that the Holy Spirit who led Christ to the cross is the same Holy Spirit that speaks to us today and rains down today and points us to the cross. And we're all commanded to pick up our cross daily and walk with the Lord in agreement. For the Lord and the blood of the Lamb is the power to overcome the sin in the lives of the saints. And because the blood and the cross have been tossed out, we have seen the collapse of the house of God. We have seen the collapse of the ministry and false prophets and false apostles and false teachers and false pastors have littered the land in the United States of America. This is overcoming. And this is the command. This is Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, that sin would no longer be our master, but we would be obedient and righteous. For Christ did indeed overcome the world, not so that we could live like the world, but so that we too, by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit, could overcome the world. Overcome sexual sin. We see what that leads to now, don't we? We see that the sexual sin in the house of the Lord that we thought was so well hidden, well, not anymore. Because now in public court documents published all over the globe, we see homosexuality and homosexual marriage. It's ordained, it's sanctioned, and it's justified. Because sexual sin was in the house of the Lord. The church, she couldn't point a finger at all. She is no longer the moral standard, the righteous standard in the land. Now, we have good news. The Lord is speaking. And the Lord is speaking the resurrection of these dry bones all throughout the land in the United States of America. For this segment, we'll close with overcoming. See the thread, the consistent thread throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that this mighty end time revival is manifesting physically right before our very eyes. And even though the United States Church has fallen, the Lord is resurrecting his remnant. There is a remnant indeed in the wilderness of repentance. And the works of the Lord are manifesting mightily all over the globe in powerful miracles and powerful revivals and the glory of the Lord, just as he promised in Joel 2:28 through 32, is being poured out all over the children of the Lord on planet Earth. And very few are aware of that in the United States, but more are coming to an awareness. So it's my continued prayer here at Maryland Altar that the Lord would open the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears of his end-time saints that they would humble themselves before the Lord to prepare for the glorious coming of the Messiah. For we know time is over. In this latter reign, this righteousness and holiness of the Lord, the mighty Holy Spirit, that is being poured out, it's not for show business. It's not for feeling good about ourselves. It's not for Hollywood. It's not for raising money. It's for preparing for the coming of the Messiah. Just as we saw in John chapter 1, John the Baptist was preparing the Israelites for the coming of the Messiah. It wasn't long after John said, prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. It wasn't long that Jesus showed up on the scene. And so it is today. We are very much out of time, and we are seeing prophecies fulfilled in real time. The Lord's mighty end time servant is on the scene, prophesying, prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. For any of the listening audience that's interested in closing, there are many resources, all available and free, and no offering required or permitted at highwayofholiness.us. I also suggest repentandprepare the way.org. That's repentandprepare the way.org. And Jesus is Lord Radio. That's all one word. .info. Jesus is Lord Radio. .info for a wealth of materials and prophecies and teachings on the end time revival from the mighty prophet. And also here in the United States of America at highwayofholiness.us. And you can write me at lou@highwayofholiness.us. Or DVDs where there's very powerful testimony and the evidence of HIV/AIDS healed and lepers cleansed, and deaf hearing and blind seeing. And yes, I did see these all with my own eyes, and I did make the 8,000 mile trip, or 6,000, whatever that distance is, and felt like 50,000. That's a different story, to Kenya, and at the end time revival of the Lord in Kakamega. There have been other powerful miracles in Venezuela and in other parts of the world, but the revival meetings in Kenya are very, very mighty, and the Lord manifests powerfully there. There'll be another one in Nakuru, August 9th through 11th, I believe. We'll have to check the calendar again. August 9th through 11th in Nakuru, Kenya. I highly recommend it for the American pastors especially. There will be some American pastors heading overseas that week for Nakuru, and the international pastors from Europe and Africa, Australia and Asia and South America will be there as well. And it would be good to see the United States of America represented by end time pastors that aren't interested in being the Ezekiel 34 shepherds, but want to be the true shepherds of the Lord, end-time pastors preparing for the coming of the Messiah. That's for this segment, and until the Lord leads for the next segment, shalom, shalom.